YouTube as well as Facebook. We pray that these services will be a blessing. And we've been celebrating the graduation of our youth here at church. And we're just thankful that God has blessed them in a mighty way. Amen? Amen. We do ask that you keep Reverend Ray's brother in prayer, as well as some of the bereaved families, those that are going through struggles. We ask that you would keep them in prayer. Now, you have been given a survey that we were trying to look at some things to improve our Sunday school and to get things going after COVID. Amen? So we ask that you complete that survey. I know that I saw some hands of teachers and retired teachers, so I know we've got some teachers out there. If you would like to continue your career in teaching the Bible, certainly we would ask you. But anyone that has an interest in teaching, certainly fill out the survey, and I believe it will be a blessing to you as well as those that will hear your instruction as the Lord leads you. Amen? I do want to also remind all of our men that on next Saturday, we'll be meeting at 7:30, our men's fellowship, and we're looking forward to that. We invite the guys to come out. We've been having a great group talking about what it means to be a kingdom man, to be in God's kingdom. So come out and be a part of that fellowship. I want to say a few words today to encourage our young people as well as to inspire you as an individual. As you're facing life, going through different struggles and trials, you have triumphs, you have ups and downs, you have things that happen. So how do you go about a plan and a purpose for your life? I want to invite you to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. While you're turning there, I want to just give a shout out to Sean and all the work that he's been doing. He's been doing a great job with our young people. We were down at Rustburg yesterday giving out food, and many people came through the line, and I was just so grateful to be a part of that. And I said, Lord, you know, that could have been me, and one day it might be me. So you never know. Whatever you can do to help others is truly, truly a blessing. So thank you, Sean, and thank you also, Jalen, for volunteering to go down and to help those in need. Joshua chapter 1. Verse number 8 is where we find our scripture text. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Again, I want to talk about success. I want to talk about the pathway to success. What does it mean? How do you get there? And then what do you do as a result of that success? Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. Thank you for guiding these students to where they're now graduating. Thank you for being with those who are still in pursuit of goals and education. I pray that you'd bless them. Bless those online today. Bless those in the parking lot and those that gather later on WLLL to hear the word. I pray, Father, that you would touch them with that truth, for your word is truth. Change us by what we hear. And Lord, I pray that you would indeed change us for the good. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you some good news and some bad news when it comes to your quest to success. The good news is that success is possible. Success is possible. Others have done it. People have accomplished certain goals and things in life, and so can you. Even the better news is that you have something inside of you that wants to succeed. It's called ambition. You have that. We know that with that ambition, it gives you hopes that as you venture out, you will be able to achieve goals. You'll be able to do great things. Greatness has not died despite of COVID. The ability to succeed in life has not diminished because of the perils and things that we face. We simply have to believe that it's possible. But then there's even greater news. God Almighty wants you and me to succeed. Did you hear that? God wants you to succeed. He wants everyone to be successful. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Is that all right? But here's the bad news. Here's the bad news. The bad news is that we live in a chaotic and ever-changing world. So to succeed, you can't just say, well, I'm just going to do just this. You may have to adjust your plans. You may run into some things that you've never faced before. And so you have to be able to face the challenges that will present themselves. The second bad news that I want to share with you is that you will have enemies. You will have some enemies. Everybody, as my mother would say, is not your friend. They may come across friendly, but they're not your friend. So how do you know when those threats and when those ill-fated circumstances will come your way? But if you have the plan of God in your life, you'll be able to face that challenge and move on to be successful. The other bit of bad news is that every now and then, something's going to flare up on the inside of you. And while you've got the ambition on one hand, when bad things happen, we automatically feel a little bit of discouragement. It deflates us. It makes us think, I can't do it. But you have to persevere. You have to move forward. You have to believe that the promise of God is greater than your feelings. Your feelings will shift like the wind, but God's promises remain forever. So that's the bad news. That's the thing that happens to us. And we have this discouragement to come about. We have these issues that will develop in our lives. But through faith in God, through the encouragement of His Holy Spirit, you can move forward and be successful. God was giving this word to Joshua because he had run into some situations in his own life. And the Lord reminded him that he was still there, as I was with Moses. As you look at the first chapter of Joshua, you'll find out that God had blessed Moses to be very successful. For a man to not have an army, to go into one of the greatest dynasties of that day, which was Egypt, and deliver up over a million people and bring them to freedom, that's pretty good. What did he have? He had a stick, a shepherd's staff, and a promise from God. You've got a degree. It may not look like much. It may not say a whole lot, but it gives you that encouragement that if you've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, you will be able to be successful. Here's Joshua's situation. He had been placed in a position as a national leader, placed in a position as a general to fight battles, placed in a position to be an inspiration to all of that small nation of people without any practical experience. All he'd done was look at Moses and follow after that example. And yet God said to him, Joshua, don't worry about it. I got your back. That's my interpretation. But he said to him, if you do certain things, if you depend upon my law to guide you, I am going to give you success. What people want to do many times, they want to have this closet relationship with God. God, I'll keep you in the closet like an overcoat. That whenever I feel vulnerable, I'll go to my closet, pick out that overcoat, put it on, and I'll feel loved and protected. That's not the relationship that you ought to have. If you're going to be successful in life, if you're going to set some goals, and certainly we should, there are scientists in this group. There are doctors, there are lawyers, there are professionals in this group. There are people that are engineers. They can build buildings. They can make things work. In this group, that you can be successful. Your greatest enemy is not the devil. Your greatest enemy is you. Only you can tell yourself, I can't do this. But let me tell you something else. Your greatest friend is God. God Almighty, again, wants you to be successful. So put yourself in the place where Joshua was. About 3,500 years ago, here's this young man faced with this daunting task. I got to lead these folk. Now remember, this was not an easy group to work with. And you're going to be in a world of unfriendly people. You're going to have this thing called, co-workers. Many of them will not share the same values, will not be going in the same direction, will not have the same faith as you, and they're going to challenge you. Not only that, you're going to find that many times they will do everything they can in their power to undermine you. So, preacher, you're telling me I've got to be successful in that environment? I thought everybody was friendly. A couple weeks ago, you talked about, our neighborhood and all of this. It's a beautiful day. It ain't so beautiful sometimes. It's not as easy as people think it is. You've been challenged, and just like Joshua was challenged. God had made this tremendous promise to them. I'm going to lead you into the promised land. But the Lord didn't really highlight that there were folk living there who didn't like the Jews, who said, you ain't coming in here. So you had the Amorites, you had the Hittites, you had the Canaanites, you had the Shalites, you had the electric light, you had all these folk. All these people who were saying, you want to be successful, but you're not going to be successful here. So here's Joshua trying to figure this thing out, which oftentimes we do. We'll try to come up with our own plan. But save yourself some time. Try God's plan. It works. It's been age tested. It's real and it's still good. Amen? Amen? So the point is, the Lord spoke to him and said to him, Joshua, here's the thing that's going to be your key to success. I'm going to give you four things today, four strategies, four things that you can do. I don't want to make it seem like it comes down to numbers, but I believe that these would embrace something that every one of us will need in order to be successful. Can I be successful with my health? See, I'm retired now, so and my main concern now is staying healthy. And just about everything you eat is bad for you. The other day I learned oatmeal is bad for you. Don't tell me anymore because you're going to bring up rice and then I'm really going to have some problems. But God said to Joshua, this book of the law, this same book that you're reading now, it didn't have the New Testament in it, but he did have the law, which was the five books of the Bible, the Torah. And God said to him, here's your key. Here's what you need. This is not something you read when you get afraid at night. I just read the 23rd Psalm and pray everything will be all right. This will give you guidance. Notice what the Lord said to him. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. In that, I believe that God was telling him, I'm going to give you something that is your key. Spiritual success is having all that is needed to be effective in doing that which is right. Let's get the definition right. Success doesn't mean political clout. It doesn't mean pocket full of money. It may involve that, but it doesn't mean that. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew word for it actually means to be circumspect, to be intelligent, and having the ability to properly respond to any and every circumstance that may come in life. I think that's pretty good. It will involve handling your money and your finances. Because you're going to find out, if you don't know it already, other people can spend your money better than you can. You're going to find that out. So you need to know that, but you also know, you need to know the things that you need to stay away from. You need to heed the warning. Let me give you the four things that, but I want to break it down into basically three topics that we're going to talk about. I want to look at the proposal. Here's God making a proposal to Joshua and saying to him, we're going to do this. Notice his words. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. That's the proposal. Joshua has what he's supposed to do, but God says, if you look to it, man, I'm going to show you some things that you haven't seen before. That's the proposal. There's many things in this Bible, evidence about people who have gone through life, faced giants, walked through fire, went in the lion's den, and yet they came out. How did they do it? Because they were successful in this thing. So my plea, my charge to you today, will you accept God's proposal? Here's God offering himself and saying, I'm in the book, look me up. And you're going to find out that I'm a way maker. You're going to find out that I'm a burden bearer and I'm a friend to you. God was saying to Joshua that he also says to you and me, take this book and live by it. It's a wonderful plan. If you follow it, it will guide you, and you must say yes to his will. Is that all right? The proposal that God makes to all of us is that if you learn what I say in this, you're going to have a pretty good life. But not only was it a proposal, it was also a path. A path that needed to be taken. It's not a one-day thing. You don't read the Bible and all of a sudden, oh, boom, I got it. Doesn't happen like that. It's a pathway that leads to success. The second thing God says to him is that you may observe to do according to that which is written therein. Observing something means pay attention to it. Every day that you live, you got to pay attention to what God has said to you. And then lastly, he makes the promise, for then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So what a lot of us like to do, we like to skip part one and part two, the proposal and the path, go quickly to the promise and say, hey, man, God made me a promise. Wait a minute, you got to walk through it. You got to go back to the first step. You don't just go through school and all of a sudden, here you are in the 12th grade. You got to go through kindergarten. You got to go through first, second, and third grade. You got to go through elementary school, then middle school, and then you got to go to high school. How's that? Then it ain't over. Now you got to go to college. Some of you are going to be moving on to your graduate level studies. Life is a continual process of preparing yourself and getting ready and doing those things that need to be done. So let's break this down. Let's look at the four things, the four elements that I was telling you about in regards to the proposal, the path, and the promise. Thing number one, there are rules that you must not ignore. How about that? There are rules that you can't just say, that's not important. I don't need to do that. There are rules that you have to follow. Your vehicle that you drive has an owner's manual. You can ignore it. But when the car goes clunk, you before you call the mechanic, because you know he's going to charge you, let me go to the owner's manual. Businesses operate on what we call operating rules or operating instructions, because they know that in order to do what we want to do, we got to go by a set of rules. Don't ever think that because you out of your mama and daddy's house, that now you can do what you want, go where you want, and it don't work that way. Number one, you're going to lose that little job you got. And secondly, you ain't going to have no money. You can play the prodigal if you want to, but you'll end up with the prodigal's fate. There are rules to be followed. They are in business. They're in all things that we have in life. And God's rule is given not to keep us from the fun, but to make sure that your fun doesn't cost you your soul. Will that work? But the second thing that you got to understand, not only are there rules, but there are boundaries that you must live by. There are boundaries. There are moral signs that you have to follow. There are spiritual things that we call keep out. Psalms 1 is a good example of this. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor does he sit with the scorner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law you meditate therein. When you get ready to walk this path, you've accepted the proposal that God has given you, and you're walking this path, there are certain folk who ain't going in the same direction that you are. If you go in the direction that they're going, you're going to get further from that goal that you're trying to reach. So you better be careful when you pick your friend, because like I said before, everybody hates your friend. Will that work? You got to make sure that if you're going to be successful, set your mind to it. But then as you set your mind to it, ask God to lead you. There's such a thing in certain vehicles. Some of y'all got it called the North Star. And where they got that from is that there's literally a North Star that will guide you. If you get lost, all you got to do is look for that star. Your faith in God is the North Star for your soul. Your faith in the living God says to you, I will never get off track as long as I look up and I acknowledge that the Lord, he is God. And beside him, there's none other. You got to always keep your mind on where you're going. There are rules. There are boundaries in life. But then not only that, if you're going to be successful in life, you must accept challenges. You've got to be able to accept challenges. Now, when I was in school, what did I want to do? I wanted to take the easy courses. You know, I first went to college, my first inclination was, well, let me just pursue a degree in liberal arts. What does that mean? You get to take pretty much what you want. But then I figured out, well, wait a minute, I need a job. So maybe I'm good at accounting, and maybe I'm effective at that area in my life, which I happen to pursue. Was it easy? No. Did it present challenges? Yes. When your new boss, for some of you that are looking for jobs, when your new boss comes to you and says, hey, how'd you like to take on this project? Don't shrink back into a corner and say, I don't know if I can do that. Let something well up on the inside of you. Let that faith well up on the inside of you and say, you know, if other people can do it, I can do it also. You have yet to discover the talent that God buried in you. That challenge is going to bring it out. Why? Because you're going to have to pray to God. You're going to have to acknowledge him. And then the Lord will direct you. Remember that promise that he made to Joshua. If you keep this, I'll be with you. And I'll help you to succeed. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you may observe it according to all that is written therein. Then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So what are the rules again? Rule number one, rules must be followed. Number two, boundaries must be kept. Then thirdly, challenges must be accepted. But the last thing that I want to close with today is that God's word must be in your heart. You can't have it in your head. You got to bury it in your heart and know that God is real. God was saying to Joshua, this thing that I'm giving you, this task that I'm laying before you is not too difficult, but you're going to have to do it my way. So right now, you got a choice. You graduates, those of you that are in the audience, you've got a choice. Either you can go about life and sing with Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. Or you can stand up with the army of God and say, Lord, it's your way that I'm following. It's your way that I'm going to acknowledge, and it's your way that I'm accepting for my life. When you do that, it's called surrender, by the way. It's called surrender. It's called giving your all to God, because what happened? He gave his all for you. He wanted you to be successful. When Christ died on the cross, he faced the biggest challenge of everything that mankind will face, and that is sin. If God did not forgive our sin, you and I would be doomed from the beginning. So success would have no meaning without Christ dying for your sin. But not only that, through Christ, now we've been freely given all things. But you have to follow God's word. So I close with this. How do you get the word on the inside? How do you believe in God's word? God said to him, now I want you to meditate in this thing. I want you to recall it to mind. I want you to memorize it, whatever you need to do. When you get upset, I guarantee you, when you get upset and you're getting ready to say something to people that you're going to later regret, if you quote the 23rd Psalm, ain't no way you're going to cuss folk out. There's no way that you're going to go to that old way. People say, I can take off my religion. Not if you're in the Word. Something got a hold of you. Well, you have to keep confessing that the Lord is good. Joshua did it. A man with no practical experience. He led them from one battle to the next. Did he make mistakes? Yes. But when he acknowledged, I made a mistake, when they didn't go up to a certain village the way that God wanted them to do, they lost the battle, but then they came back in and they won the war. The goal is to win the war against everything that would oppress and keep you down. So did Joshua reach that successful goal? Well, let's hear what he says at the end of his life. After the many years that God had led them to conquer the new Canaan land and to drive out all of the people that were oppressing and all of those that did not represent God, here's what he said in Joshua 24 and verse 15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It worked. It worked for him. And what I'm telling you, it'll work for you. If you want to be successful in life, if you want to achieve the things that God has laid before you in life, and there are certain goals that he's given you, you got to remember, you got to follow the rules, you got to know the boundaries, you got to face the challenges, and you have to keep his word in your heart. How many of you all have bought something, gone into a store, and bought something, and you didn't keep the receipt? A lot of us have. So, bought something, all of a sudden, thing doesn't work, or maybe it's not performing at the level you want to. You got something that's broke here, don't know how to handle it, but you don't have a receipt. That's pretty bad. Now you're trying to convince the folk that you bought it from, look, I got this from you, and it's broke, it's not working anymore, I need you to fix it. They said, do you have a receipt? Here's what happens when you put God's word in your heart. You always have a receipt. What is that receipt? What is the spiritual receipt? What does it consist of? Well, first of all, it tells where you got it from. It also tells you who made it and all of what it can do. But the last thing that it tells you on the bottom line, it's paid for. Everything that God gives you is paid for. But if you don't have the receipt deep down in your soul, the devil is going to tell you, you ain't got a claim. But I know that his word is true. I know that he didn't bring me this far to leave me now. I got the receipt because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. God was saying to Joshua, when you meditate on the word, you get it deep down on the inside, so when difficulty comes about, pull out your receipt. When you're facing the Canaanite and they telling you, you can't come in there, you pull out your receipt. Your receipt will tell you Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Whatever you do in life, if you forget everything else I said, please keep your receipt. Your receipt will tell you that he's a way maker. Is that all right? Your receipt will tell you he didn't bring you this far to leave you now. It's on the receipt. Some of the manufacturers and some of the stores will have a little slogan. Thank you for shopping here. But God will tell you on his slogan, if you need me, just call me. You got a number. You can call him in the morning. I feel like preaching out of your yard. I want to hear. You can call him in the evening. You can call him when the sun goes down. You got to know that his word in your heart is more than all the words of the world against you. His word, because it's mighty, is powerful. And whatever you do in life, wherever you go, don't be ashamed to stand up and say, God made it possible. Hannah, you got a beautiful voice. But the greatest thing this morning that you did was give a testimony about how you believe in the living God. That's the wonderful thing. That's your receipt. And that receipt will keep you. Those that are in here and those that are online, I've just been sharing with you about the keys to success. There are a lot of people who want to be successful, but you got to make the right choice, and that choice is Jesus. I want to give you that option right now. If you have not made him the Lord of your life, today would be a wonderful day. Today, as these graduates are celebrating, you too can celebrate how you love the Lord and how God can make life possible. You know, as I look back over my life, I haven't done everything that I wanted to do, but I made a couple of pretty good choices in life. One of them was Jesse. That's pretty good. Another pretty good choice was Crossroads. Yeah, that's all right. But my greatest choice of all was to choose Jesus. What can I say? He's worthy of all the praise. So I want to give you the invitation right now. For those that are lost, I want to give you the invitation. If you want to be successful in life, then you have to go God's way. You have to accept the things that he would have you to do. I trust that my words have meant something to you, that you'll believe in the Lord. Most of all, if you don't remember anything, Brother Coleman said, keep the receipt. That's right. My wife gets mad at me all the time because I got receipts everywhere. But I tell her, and look, if something go wrong, I can take it right back to the folk that gave it to me. Hallelujah, somebody. So if you're here today and you're without Christ, we invite you to come. Maybe I'll stay.
We need you. Hey, oh, how we need you.
If that's one, you're searching, if you're saying, preacher, I need an answer for my life. Life is not perfect, but life is good when you got God. Life is good. You've got God. So if you hear this,
yes, we do, Lord.
Let's pray. Father, again, we love you and we thank you for your awesome promises. Bless us now as only you can. Keep us as only your word can do. We ask that you would guide us. Help us as people of God to be successful in the things that you would have us to do. We love you. Give you glory and honor in Jesus' name.
Now come on,
amen. We're going to ask Reverend Anderson if he would come now and dismiss us in prayer. Y'all got your receipt? Getting ready to go out into the world now. You need.
Come and feel. Come and quit.
You know, I started out as a youth pastor. What? These young people grew up to the place in your life. If you close the door, I believe you close one door in this journey. Sharon and I are so proud of you all because we watched you as babies grow up into young adults. And as Pastor said, study the word. But I want to give you one more nugget. Because Diggin Lewis gave you a precious gem also. But in Psalms 103, see, some of you all are going to go out and get jobs, and you know the job's going to have benefits. You have to choose what you need. But I got a benefit I want to give you that's going to keep you. Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. God's benefits will never change. They'll stay the same. The rate doesn't increase. Because as Pastor said, Jesus paid it all, and you got the receipt. Let us pray. Father God, as we come today, Father, I come lifting up these young adults before you, asking, oh God, that you cover them from the crown of their head to the soles of thy feet. Lead the way, Lord, that they may follow thee and be successful in what you have already predestined them to be. Lord, we thank you, not only for them, but for the parents who has also walked this journey. So, Lord, I ask that you continue to lay your hands upon them. Keep them, guide them, direct them, that they may know that it is not them but you who is doing all that they are doing in their lives. Father, bless each individual here today. Lord, as we prepare to leave this place, but never your presence. Father, keep us and guide us. Let our light so shine that people may know without a doubt that we belong to you. We thank you, Lord. We love you. And we praise your holy name. For it's in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, we ask these blessings. So now, let all the blood-washed, born-again believers declare with a loud shout, hallelujah. Amen. God's peace.
And as you're heading out, the cookie truck is running about 20 minutes behind. They had car trouble, but they are on their way. But please help yourself to the coffee truck. It's ready and available. Thank you.
Thank you.